In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Ten Commandments are divided into two tables. The first table of the law, Commandments 1 through 3, deal with our relationship with God. Commandments 4 through 10 deal with our relationship with our neighbors. So love God and love your neighbor. The way of love is laid out in those Ten Commandments. To deviate from them is to deviate from love itself, regardless of what one thinks or feels. So today let us meditate upon the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. The commandment applies to your entire person, not simply one part of your body. Inward sin usually has little earthly consequences, although now we have learned how the brain chemistry has changed through pornography and even through too much screen time. Our Lord instead shows us the severity of such inward sins. He says, cast away the body part that causes you to fall into such sin. Yet if you were to do that, you would quickly be dismembered. He says that to teach us two things. One, that if we love the body more than we love Christ, we cannot be saved. And two, that every sin begins in our heart. Our problem is not with our actions and what we do. The problem is that we are sinners conceived and born in sin. In other words, we need a Savior to save us from what we are. So do not be fooled. God cannot be mocked. All sin, even the unknown secret sins of one's heart, are known to God. They stoke his wrath, and they rain hell down upon us. So daily let us deny the lusts of the flesh and rise as a new creation in Christ. Daily let us live in contrition and repentance, for we have but one Lord and Savior who has died to redeem us, but one God who has paid the price to make us his own. Jesus then comments on divorce. The Jewish world of Jesus' day was actually very similar to our world today when it came to divorce. Men would divorce their wives for really any and every reason. So Jesus reaffirms God's command, you can't divorce, for God has united you. Divorce is like plucking out your eye or cutting off one of your limbs. You can do it, but you will be maimed. So Jesus does grant an exception to protect the individual who may be physically or emotionally abused. But we must also recognize that those who are divorced are not simply single. They fall underneath a subcategory of being single. They are divorced. And so Christ does say that it is better for them not to remarry. So we're caught between a rock and a hard place, between the commandment of God and the sanctity of marriage. And between that word spoken at creation, it is not good for man to be alone. What a burdensome life we create for ourselves by our sins. Lord, have mercy. The divorced who does remarry has not necessarily sinned, but he should proceed with great caution. Jesus, by these words, is demonstrating that marriage is not a contractual relationship between two consenting adults. When a man and woman desire each other in marriage, sign on the dotted line according to our standard, God himself is doing something. Marriage is holy because God has attached his promise to marriage. God creates a union. Flesh of flesh and bone of bone, they are no longer two, but they are one. God unites them together and fills them with unknown joys and pleasures and goodness. He multiplies their love in untold ways. So marriage is a holy mystery, because we cannot fully comprehend how a man and his wife are one. God himself has united them. So we see that God builds a hedge around this union, lest anyone sin against another person. He could have left marriage just simply underneath the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. But he didn't. He left governments there, but he pulls out marriage so that we do not think that marriage is solely for the sake of raising children. Many conservative Christians have overemphasized that point, even many conservative religions such as Judaism, that marriage is only for the sake of raising children. But we cannot forget the three blessings of marriage, all of which start with the letter C: children, chastity, and companionship. The three are inexplicably intertwined. God may withhold them from time to time, but those who are married or those who desire marriage should expect that God give them as he sees fit. It's too narrow of a view to only view marriage as for benefiting children. God pulls marriage out from underneath the fourth commandment and sets it up as its own commandment, so we see how highly he honors it and how strictly he guards it. In the beginning, Adam sings of his wife not as a mother, but as flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. She belongs to him and he belongs to her. This is a holy mystery. And St. Paul says, I'm not speaking about marriage anymore, but about Christ and his church. As man and woman are united into one, so we cannot fully comprehend how Christ has washed us clean in the waters of holy baptism and made us his own. We cannot fully comprehend how a baptismal bath takes away our every sin and makes us one with Christ, nor can we fully understand how the Holy Supper is his body and blood for the very forgiveness of our sins. But there is the love of our bridegroom, who not only gives himself up into death, but now gives himself to us, so that he might dwell in us and we in him. We who have such a sinful heart that creates all kinds of wickedness and evil within that only we know, we are made temples of God himself, holy and righteous through faith in Christ. And it is that love that husbands and wives are privileged to manifest to one another. This most blessed union pulls a man and his wife into God-like love by sacrificing for each other. No longer does a husband live for himself, but he lives for his wife. He exists solely for her, so that he might bring her some semblance of joy and gladness. And the same is true of the wife. She submits to her husband by joyfully receiving all that he gives, and by helping him and lifting him up in obedience and respect. Remember, this order was established before the fall into sin, so it is good and right and perfect, even though sinners have greatly abused it. So husbands and men, you should be someone who is worth submitting to. And women, wives, you should be someone worth dying for. It's an act of faith, because this is not what we experience in our life, really in any relationship, but chiefly even within marriage. Two sinners are united together. Two that often care more about themselves than they care about Christ and the command of God. And the more selfish we are, the less love flourishes, and the more contractual marriage becomes. You do your part, I'll do mine. Did God make a mistake when he united you to your spouse? So why do you argue with your husband? And why do you refuse to love your wife and let your eyes wander? Rejoice in the wife of your youth, Scripture says, not because she's the most beautiful woman in the world, but because God has joined you to her, and the same is true of the husband. It's hard to love when you are looking at someone else. It's hard to love when you see their faults and their shortcomings so clearly. It's hard to love when you are looking in the wrong place. It's easy to love when you look at Christ and when you see his command. So let us live not by our spouse's actions, let us live by the command of God. Then we will have peace and joy not only in our life, but also in our hearts. Then God's will be manifest in us by tempered words and by self-controlled actions. So whether married or single, everyone should view the marital estate with the highest honor, for God has set it apart in this command. No athlete, actor, president, or ruler, no politician, past, present, or future, no person that you have studied in history, regardless if they're called the great or not, no philosopher, doctor, or anyone else is equal to the married man or the married woman. All else comes second. This is the highest vocation that God has given for those who are married. Again, this is an act of faith because sinners are united. So there are tiffs and there are arguments and there is selfishness, as is true in every relationship. The only way marriage or any relationship can succeed is in the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of sins that he freely bestows on each of us individually through his word and blessed sacraments. Too many think of marriage as simply settling down. The Christian can only smile at that phrase. Marriage is anything but settling down. Marriage is when we begin to flourish like never before. And God blesses you in ways that you never knew were even possible as he conforms your heart and your mind more and more to himself. Too many joys to be numbered, too many crosses that need not be numbered. But still rescued and atoned for by the blood of Christ, saved from ourselves, saved from our wicked hearts, so that we might be heirs of heaven, co-heirs with Christ. And then he gives us back this vocation, that we might walk in his ways throughout all our days. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do, and that husband and wife love and honor each other. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.